Hi, it's Mike and Daniel here again. This week we're in the echoey room. Apologies for that. We're going to talk about one particular subject, which, just to go back a few weeks, there have been quite a few significant consultation documents released by the government as part of their commitment to transparency and all this palaver. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you look at the taxation websites, news pages, it's just a conduct this, conduct that. And a couple of weeks ago, of course, there was the big engagement with agents document.
Which we say, please do fill in our survey and give us your views, influence your future.
Danger of conduct overload, because we've got now not one but two more big
consultation. The problem is this, the issue is this, that they're committed to the government to producing a draft finance bill 4 months before the real finance bill comes out, which means that the draft finance bill has got to be prepared for early December, which means that any consultations have got to be in sort of by about September, because they've got to have time to process them, which, because you have, I think it's 12 weeks or 10-12 weeks for a consultation, means that you've got to issue them by now. So it's a real stampede from the point at which they've announced there's going to be a consultation document in the budget through to about now, that, you know, they've got to get all these conducts out.
The one we're about to talk about, are the two we're about to talk about, are the residents.
Yes, well, residents in particular, yeah.
Yeah, and the statutory. Yeah. And I just wanted to ask before, though, is there not a danger of an overload for...
Yeah, I think there is, and I think this is going to be a real problem. It is the way that this process works is going to compress everything into this period. Now, it's always been the period when there's been a lot of pressure, because it's when the finance bill's going through. But in a sense, you've got both. You've got next year's finance bill, the first consultation on it, and also this year's finance bill as it goes through Parliament. So it's going to be a difficult time, and it's bad enough for us, but I pity the poor technical officers in the institutes, because it must be really quite difficult.
But the good news, however, from your point of view, Mike, is that these two documents are actually pretty clear and
it's the residence document that I want to look at in particular. I'm not quite sure that this is good news. I have a 3-hour lecture on residence, which has now just gone completely out the window. But it's a really good document, I think, in terms of what it sets out. And what it shows is that just because legislation is long doesn't mean it's bad legislation. The legislation that we're going to have on residence, for the statutory residence desk, is going to be an awful lot longer than the legislation we've got now. But it's actually going to be meaningful. It does set out very clear tests. I mean, it's what they call in Gainsborough bright lines. You will know exactly whether you are resident or whether you're not resident. And it's set out by... there's a set of rules in Part A. If you meet Part A, you are definitely resident. If you don't meet Part A and you do meet Part B, you're definitely... Sorry, the other way around. If you meet Part A, you are definitely not resident. If you don't meet Part A and do meet Part B, you're definitely resident. And then even if you're in between in Part C, it's very much a sort of, how many of these connecting factors do you meet? 1, 2, 3, or 4. And that gives you the number of days that you can be in the UK. So it's really very clear.
Does this signal the end, then, of all confusion about residence?
Not entirely. I mean, some of the things... I didn't get into this in the article, but there are one or two specific bits that are left over, I think. I did mention the fact that part of the definition is about number of days that you work in the UK. And they say that any day when you do 3 hours work or more is a day of work in the UK, even if you've left before the end of it. Well, what do we mean by work? You know, is answering your mobile phone work? Is answering emails work? Because that could get quite tricky. There's another one which could be quite fun, which is to do with aircrew. And obviously a lot of the cases we've had on this have been to do with aircrew, Grace and Shepherd. I say 3 hours work. Well, I don't know when you start getting rostered. You know, when do you start work? If you're a pilot... When do you start work? How much before the plane takes off do you start work? And then, when does your work in the UK finish? Because I suspect it's when you leave territorial airspace. But that's a lot more difficult to determine than, you know, when you took off. So that's going to be a problem. The other is they're going to legislate the concession, which says that if you, or sorry, it's not a concession, they put it in effectively as a concession when the new rules were going through a couple of years back. They said that if you arrive as a passenger and effectively you don't do anything more than what you need to do in order to leave the following day, then the fact that you spent a night in the UK doesn't count towards the date. Mr. Grace, as a pilot, used to arrive from South Africa, where he lived, one day, would stay overnight quite often, and would then leave the following day. Now, he never did any more than he needed to do to leave, but what he needed to do to leave was to get into the cockpit and fly the plane. Now, that's not quite what the revenue are thinking about. They're thinking about passengers in transit.
He was working and leaving as well.
Exactly. He's a passenger when he arrives. It doesn't say you've got to be a passenger when you leave. All it says is that you've got to get out of town and the following day and not do anything other than what you need to get out of town. But in his case, what he needs to get out of town is his work.
This may be a foolish question, but surely once you leave territorial airspace, you're not in any country, are you?
No, you're not.
So then what? Then where are you?
Oh, well, then it doesn't... Well, that you see, that was the whole point in Grace, that for a large part of the time, he was nowhere. So from a tax point of view, you're not anywhere at that point, unless, for example, the country you're going to says that any time that you spend in that country means that you are there for that day. And prior to this, actually, and prior to the change in the law a couple of years ago, technically you had to count by the hour or even by the minute. There's a case from the late 1940s for the UK that says that you actually have to count by hours, minutes, whatever, in order to determine the amount of time you're in the UK, and not, as the revenue argued during it, on lunar months. Which is just one of those weird cases. It's
so it's what, good and bad news or generally good news?
I think it's predominantly good news. I think the two things that I think that were a bit... One is that to leave the UK, the tests are going to be really quite restrictive. It does depend on your connections, but if you have too many connections with the UK, you're only going to be allowed essentially 10 days in the UK, 9 days in the UK, because it's 10 or over causes a problem, 9 days in the UK per year for the first 3 years, which is really incredibly restrictive. The other is just the question of whether, what they've done is take some of the principles that arose out of the cases and try and put them into the legislation, but in a hard format. And they've done that very well, but they've not stopped to think, did we actually need all these principles put in legislation at all? So that's the only other thing that I say. But I mean, those are really quite sort of nitpicky points. I think it is a very good consultation document. I'm sure it needs some amendments as we go through, but I'd have said it was sort of 85-90% there.
All right, well, you can read Mike's article in this week's issue, the article being called
Glorious Black and White.
And thanks for listening, and we'll talk again next week.
Bye now.